You want to like them, but you can't.
Are you listening?
What?
Are you listening?
Did you bring me on this show to insult me?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all don't want it with us, man. We straight gangsters over here.
Straight gangsters. Yeah, welcome back. You are listening to Scout Team Radio. We bring it to you hot and live like we do each and every weekday morning. I am one of your gracious hosts. They call me Loudbeard.
You are the most egotistical, self-deluded person I have ever met.
Okay. And the man on the other microphone, he is a great patriot. He's so patriotic that he likes to watch cars crash into each other. That's why we know him as...
America! America!
Yeah, it's your boy Chris America coming to you live this Monday, Monday morning, February, the President's Day. It is February President's Day. Here in America, they don't have President's Day in Canada, right, Loudbeard?
I don't think so. Not sure.
I know they have Thanksgiving in October, and I think July 1st is a thing, but not July 4th.
Yeah, no, they definitely don't have Independence Day, July 4th. Yeah, definitely not that one. They do have a Boxer's Day. Yep, that's a thing.
Boxer Day? Like four boxers or Boxing Day?
Whatever, you know what I'm talking about.
And which boxers are we talking about? Like, are we talking about briefs, or are we talking, like, the guys that wear the gloves and punch each other in the face?
You only wear banana hammocks with Anthony Mack, so you don't even know what I'm talking about. So you don't even act like you know what I'm talking about, okay? So just don't even act like it. You have no idea.
Well, Loudbeard, there was no boxing last night, but there was some UFC in Phoenix, and Big Nagano knocked out Cain Velasquez in 26 seconds. Did you see the highlights of that or watch the fights at all?
I mean, is there a lot of highlights when it's a 26-second fight? Like, can I just watch the fight?
You can just watch the fight. That's true.
Should I just fast forward to the highlights?
You should just skip forward, but don't like put the remote down because it's 26 seconds later. It was a weird knockout. Some people are saying that Velasquez blew out his knee. His leg went limp, but it looked like it went limp like you would go limp from a knockout, but there was no really like hard hit to the head. So I'm not really sure what went on there, Loudbeard. But Nagano's back. Three fights ago, he had the worst fight I've ever seen in my life with Derek Lewis. I think there was like a total of like 12 punches thrown in the 15 minutes they fought. Yes, you two still owe me 15 minutes of my life back. But I was glad to see Nagano kind of... He's an up-and-coming star. They tried to push him over with that Derek Lewis fight, and he took a huge hit. The last couple of fights he's been in, Loudbeard, he's come back.
Yeah, UFC needs some more stars, right? So I think sometimes they overdo it. They try to push too hard, and it really kind of throws these guys off, right? So I think that Derek Lewis fight was just kind of an off night. So now he's coming back into form to what we know he can be, what he has the capability of doing. And last night, that just proves... Was it last night or Saturday night?
No, it was a weird night.
Was it a Sunday night fight? I didn't watch it. And yeah, that is a little weird. There's a lot going on yesterday between the Orlando Apollos, Daytona 500, All-Star Game. You expect me to watch a UFC fight? I can't keep up with all this stuff, Chris America. Sports.
There definitely was a lot going on, Loudbeard. And I nerded it up this weekend. I finished off Punisher on Friday. I went and saw Alita Battle Angel Saturday. Great movie.
Good. I want to see that. It looks good, so I'm glad you're giving it a good recommendation here.
Yeah, it's. I'm not going to sit here and say, like, oh, it's going to be one of the best movies you've ever seen, but it's a solid movie, solid sci-fi. It's going to end up being a classic from this era. People are going to look back and say, man, that Alita Battle Angel... was a great. I'm pretty sure they're going to make it a series because it is based off of a Japanese. They don't call them comic books no more, Loudbeard. They call them graphic novels now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the graphic novels, to me, that just means it's a long comic book. That's all that means.
Well, isn't that what X-Men is? And Spider-Man and Batman? Like, those are all comic books that have been around f- for like 100 years almost.
Yeah, but those were comic books that you get like that like 10-page to 20-page comic. Graphic novels are, you get this whole entire book.
Oh, you mean like each book is long.
And it's like one story. Right,
each book.
Right,
I gotcha. I thought you meant
so
like the series goes on.
Because
long.
It's
I gotcha.
A novel, it's a full read. So if you get a full novel, you get that. So
I understand now. It makes sense.
And there's some blurred lines here. I'm just going to nerd it out for you. So you can have Marvel, like the Civil War. That is a graphic novel from Marvel because it's a long story all put into one book that you can read together. Mm. But they also broke it up into individual comic books and did like a 6 or 8 part series for that to work. So there's differences there, Chris America. You need to know these things, okay? This is important. Very important for you to know.
I gotcha. Well, Alita Battle Angel is a graphic novel and from Japan, and it is a really... When I first saw the previews...
Does that make it anime? Doesn't it have a different name now because it's from Japan?
Well, it's kind of... It's what we do with everything here in America. We American it up. Like, there's not a single really... I'm trying to think back.
America!
I don't think there's a single Asian character, at least not a like main character in the entire movie.
All right,
but
I've never
seen
America.
The graphic novel, so I don't know if the graphic novel is American dub. I really don't know. I just saw that it was at the end of the movie. It said based on Japanese graphic novel Alita Battle Angel.
Okay, so good movie. You did that. What other nerding topics did you do this weekend?
Well, like I said, I finished The Punisher. You said you watched that, right?
Yep, I enjoyed The Punisher. Not as good as the first season, but still a quality watch.
I thought it was okay. It's not as good as the first season, but it's comparable, and it held its own. I would say if that was the first season, it would be a really good first season. Got a little slow towards the middle, but I feel like all those Marvel movies and shows get slow at some point. It's just when do they pick them back up, where... Some of them, like, I felt like Daredevil kind of got really slow towards the end. Luke Cage, I tried watching that one. It's really slow. And then I still refuse to see Iron Fist, Loudbeard. Still refuse to see it.
The second season is awesome. But, you know, they're canceling most of those shows, if not all of them. Iron Fist, Daredevil, those have all been canceled. Punisher is believed to be the next one to be canceled. Jessica Jones, possibly.
Well, you know why, right?
Disney's doing their own streaming service.
Yeah, they're
going to
bring it up.
They take their product back. Yep.
So I hope if they do bring Punisher back, they keep... I only know him as Shane from The Walking Dead. I don't know his actor's name, but now he's the Punisher to me. He was typecasted as Shane. Every time I saw him, I was like, oh, look, there's Shane from The Walking Dead. Now I'm going to be like, oh, look, there's the Punisher.
Hey, that
he
works.
He owned that character, man.
It's like every time I see Jaleel White, I'm like, oh, look, there's Stefan Urkel.
That's true.
Typecasted. It's very typecasted.
I didn't even know his name was Jaleel White.
All right. Well, you know what I'm talking about. See?
I do. Only because you said Stefan Urkel. If you would have just said every time I see Jaleel White, I think of Family Matters, I'd have been like, which one was he? Was he Carl? Was he Eddie? Which one was he?
All right, here's another one for you. Every time I see Tiffany Amber Thiessen, I think, oh, look, there's Kelly Kapowski.
Yep.
That's all I think.
That's true. She was in...
her heyday.
Who was she? She was in a comedy like in the mid-2000s where she was a hot wife, and I'm trying to think of what movie that was.
Oh, I'm not going to be able to help you. I do not remember that at all.
I'll look it up. So, sports, though. Sports did happen, and I would say another good weekend for the Alliance, but I think the crowd sizes in Birmingham and Memphis left a ton to be desired. I didn't see the final numbers, but everything I saw during the games and on Twitter was they were not good, Loudbeard.
Well, this is kind of to be expected. Hey, on a side note, Umbrella Academy on Netflix, that needs to be your next nerd out. Just saying. On a side, back to sports, we do have to say that when you have an inaugural game or an inaugural anything, you're going to get huge results. Everybody wants to see what it's all about. Let's all jump in. Let's give it a listen. Let's give it a watch. Let's see what's going on. Let's see what these players have. But as time evolves, you're going to lose that new car smell, and you're going to get what you're going to get. It happened with the XFL. The XFL had huge numbers for a debut. Everybody thought the XFL was legit, but the numbers just fell off. What the Alliance needs to do is make sure they maintain some sort of in-between. They can't go down to the gutter and have nothing, but they got to stay at some sort of midpoint. So I kind of expected this, Chris America, and we're going to find out which fan bases are really up for their teams. So the Alliance may have to reevaluate where some of these teams are in the next year or two if they want to do long-term success. But I do think that there is something tangible here that we have, something good going on with the Alliance that can have some long-term success. But fans need to show out. But I'm not surprised that attendance looks like it's down.
Yeah, and I didn't really catch what the ratings were either, but the games were good. Ooh,
bringing it
for
hot with all
part.
The stats today. I appreciate that. Fact checker.
Yeah, I
wish
don't,
I had a stat machine in front of me. I don't, though.
I don't either.
I have a calculator. Does that work? What do you want me to do?
I want you to go into the pictures
45.
You've seen on Twitter.
See? I got it.
Got it.
Okay. 1,238. See? Smartest man on the earth.
Okay, so Loudbeard. We had some good games, though, however. We had three comeback wins. The comeback wins were by what everybody thinks are the three best teams in the league right now. The Birmingham Iron had to come back. The Arizona Hotshots broke the hearts of the Memphis Express. Memphis came out last week and looked dead, and I think that's one of the reasons why Memphis's attendance was very low, because they saw how bad their team was, and they're like, Christian Hackenberg's our quarterback? I'm not going to that. And they actually did pretty decent against Arizona Hotshots, but they lose in a heartbreaking fashion. And, of course, our Orlando Apollos had to come back twice, Loudbeard.
Yeah. Well, the comebacks, to me, create a lot of intrigue. You're starting to see the haves and the have-nots in the Alliance. And the Apollos, their offense, and I saw this reported in several different areas, but come on, we already got to say it, best offense in the Alliance. The way they were able to come back and the way they were able to dominate the other team's defense, you can tell that this is legit. Spurrier's got this team rolling on all cylinders on the offensive side of the ball.
And that's to be expected, because it is Steve Spurrier, one of the greatest offensive minds in football, but we didn't win on an offensive score, Loudbeard. No, we didn't. We won on this play right here.
A lot of success with option routes.
Yes, sir, that's great. We had a pick six to finalize the game, and then that still wasn't the end of the game, Loudbeard. The San Antonio Commanders, I wanted to say the Birmingham Iron. The San Antonio Commanders drove all the way down into a first and goal situation, and the Apollos come up with a goal line stand on fourth and goal, and then the offense came out, ran the ball. I think his name was Dearness Johnson. Ran the ball down their throats to kill the clock, and that is how we secured the win.
You need a little bit of everything, right? You need some good offense, yep. Some good defense, turnovers. Turnovers are always a key when you have a good defensive unit. And the Apollos did it all. Now, they did let some points up. It's not
they
like
did.
This was a walk in the park for them.
No,
like
no.
You said, they had
to
come back twice.
Come so back down 12 twice, yeah.
Which, that in itself shows the testicular fortitude.
The resilience.
This Orlando Apollos team. I do want to mention the Birmingham Iron just for a moment. Trent Richardson with another touchdown. This guy's a touchdown machine. I think he's going to be the touchdown vulture of the AAF. So when you're setting your fantasy Alliance lineup this week, Chris America, just remember,
Richardson
is like, he's basically a touchdown machine. Just put him in. He's got getting you 6 points guaranteed.
Yeah, but if you have the other guy on your team, you hate Trent Richardson. I don't know who the other guy is, but if you have him, you're like, damn you, Trent Richardson.
Yeah, he's like the work done of your team, right? Like
the work done.
You got Mike Allstott, which is Trent Richardson. So
who was the recent guy for the Eagles? I'm trying to think of. He played for Oregon. He's been bounced around to a bunch of teams. Oh man, why can't I? LeGarrette Blount. He is the LeGarrette Blount of the AAF.
He is. And it's good to see his name out there. Trent Richardson, we know he is out there as a former big-time NFL name, and he's doing well there in the AAF now.
Because I think when Blount was with the Patriots, he had like 500 yards and 18 touchdowns.
I think he had more yards than that, but the 18 touchdowns is actually accurate.
I'll look it up.
It was probably like, yeah, it was low. It was low, but you're right. This guy, Richardson, and the Iron didn't really even score that much. Like, they didn't need to do that much to win. All it needed was one touchdown, and I think that's what's kind of souring some of the attendance a little bit, too, is not every team is putting out really great performances. You're seeing some bad football out there, which is, again, to be expected, right? This isn't the NFL. These aren't NFL players. These are guys that are aspiring to be in the NFL, guys that are getting second chances, and the talent level will continue to get better and better as these teams kind of continue to work together, and some of these coaches figure out how to game plan with the talent that they have. It'll get better, but you know, when you look at some of these scores, some of these teams are struggling to put anything on the board. Not our Apollos, but other teams, you know?
Yeah, and the fact checker, he had 1,100 yards. 500, 1,100. It was 72 yards a game. I knew it wasn't over 100 yards a game.
So you were 100% confident he did not have 1,600 yards that season.
Wow, I was 100%.
That was a pretty bold statement right there. Hot take, Mondays from Chris.
But America. I nailed his touchdowns. I said 18. It was 18 touchdowns. So suck it, Loudbeard. Gave you the old DX. Man. Suck it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know you can't see me on radio, but I'm doing the full on motion and everything.
Oh, I'm gonna give you some sweet chin music if you don't shut the hell up.
Kids show, buddy. Kids show.
What kids show? I believe this is a family show. Adults, man.
This is a family show.
All right, Chris America. So going back, so would you say this was a successful weekend for the Alliance, or do you think that we're going to start seeing this attendance dwindle, maybe viewership dwindle, and maybe start to see some struggles here for the Alliance?
I think the attendance and viewership numbers will be down. However, I think it was a successful weekend because it kept the buzz on Twitter. It kept the buzz with the comeback wins, the exciting games. Yesterday afternoon's game with the Apollos and San Antonio was as good of a game as you'll get in college football, as good as a game as you'll get in the NFL, man. It had everything you wanted, just like you said. And I think that kind of buzz is a positive. It's a net positive for the Alliance, and they will bring viewers back. People who decided to sleep on this past weekend might say, oh, man, I hit the snooze button on the Alliance, and I missed out on all this great football. I'll be back next weekend. You got my attention there, Alliance football.
No, I love it. I love it. So that's awesome stuff, man. Awesome stuff.
You got a fire going on over there?
Let me see what's going on. Hold on.
All right. Loudbeard's going to sect us. Make sure his studio is not burning down. It sounded like there was a fire alarm going off. That's how hot the Alliance of American Football is these days, guys. It's so hot here in Orlando that it caught Loudbeard's studio on fire. Hopefully he's okay. We won't know. I guess we'll know if he never comes back. I'll give him about 5 minutes to come back. But, yeah, Orlando Apollos, guys. It is taking off here in Orlando. If you're not in the Orlando area, the Orlando area has been hungry for professional football for a very long time. If they move the Jaguars down here to Orlando, you wouldn't need to see the black tarps or anything in our stadium, because we would fill out that stadium. You saw how the area reacted to the UCF Knights' success in their national championship and their 25-1 two seasons, and that's just going to continue. We have the Orlando City Lions. As soon as that became an MLS team, even before then, man, it's soccer. I know soccer is not that big of an American sport, but here in Orlando it is, and we wish we had the team to kind of back up the crowd. Because the crowd, the audience, the spectators, our fans are loud, they're raucous, they're passionate. They love themselves some MLS soccer. Now, we just need a better team to kind of give us more to cheer for. And now that our Orlando Magic is doing well, you will definitely see a loud and raucous Orlando Arena, or I guess they call it the Amway Center. I hate that name. I hate that we have a pyramid scheme as our sponsorship for our arena. It's the only thing that's embarrassing about being a Magic fan is that we have that. I wish it was called like the Magic Kingdom Arena, so then we can truly be the Orlando Tragic when we're bad and the Orlando Magic when we're good. And Loudbeard, still gone. Still no Loudbeard. Kind of wondering what happened to him. But I'll guess I guess I'll move on. What do I want to move on to without Loudbeard? Let's see. I got some other tweets. Oh, see, I need Loudbeard here for this because I want to know what he thinks about this. But there was a release of a top five worst NFL cities by Fox Sports NFL. I don't know. They didn't put what the prerequisites were for being on this list, why these teams were on this list. I don't disagree with some of them. So the top five worst cities for NFL fans are as follows. Number five, Tampa. I think I got to disagree with that. As much as I'm not a Tampa fan, they supported their Buccaneers. That is the number one team in the Tampa Bay area. It's just when their team is bad, it's like most other cities. I'm not going to say like all other cities because number four city, it's not that way at all. But when Tampa's bad, they don't show out as much, but Tampa fans are kind of like Orlando fans. If you're good, we will come out and support the hell out of you. We've seen it with the Rays. We've seen it with the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are just lighting the ice on fire right now. It's hot in professional sports here in Central Florida and West Florida, even though USF, which is in Tampa, calls it South Florida. I don't know why. But so number five is Tampa. Okay. I could probably think of other worse cities, but fair enough. Number four, this one, I don't understand at all. I think this is just pure hatred towards Cleveland. I've always thought Cleveland was a great NFL town because they had the best, or they have the worst team. It says worst cities for NFL fans. So maybe they're just picking bad teams? I don't know. But if you're a Cleveland Browns fan, yes, it's worse for you because your organization's been bad, but that fan base has always showed out. They've always been loud. They make SEC, you know, fan bases blush with how passionate they are with their team, no matter how bad they are, no matter who their quarterback and coach is. I've always respected the Cleveland Brown fan base because of that. And I'm excited to see where their future is going with Baker Mayfield taking over the quarterbacking spot. I thought he was rookie of the year. And you know, new coach. I'm not so crazy about that hire of a guy who made it to 60 years old without ever being a coordinator, becomes a coordinator for the first time as an interim, and then takes over as a head coach. Didn't get that at all. But anyways, I digress. Number three, I can kind of see this one because they don't show out for Vanderbilt. And I know that one of our good listeners, Ian, is probably going to disagree with me, but Nashville is on this list. Again, it says worst cities for NFL fans. I don't know if that's because the Titans have been that fringe team for the longest time. They're that team that you want to pull your hair out if you're a fan of because they're good. They're a solid team, but they, for whatever reason, just can't ever seem to get it together to where that fan base should be like, we're going to the Super Bowl this year. This is the year. We have the quarterback. We have the defense. We have the receivers. They've always been like, man, if we can only get into the playoffs and then we can maybe make a run. If we can maybe have some things fall our way, then we can make a run. But they don't have the confidence that, say, the Patriots or Steeler fans have had over the last decade or so. All right, so number two, I think this should be the number one list. I mentioned them before. That's Jacksonville. And I don't think that's any surprise to anybody. Listen, the Jacksonville fans, the ones that are there, the ones that do love the Jacksonville Jaguars, I give the utmost respect. They do love their Jaguars in Jacksonville. I just don't know if the city itself is interested enough. They're kind of like Tampa, but it takes a lot longer for that fan base to finally show up and get behind Jaguars. I mean, they had a great season 2 years ago, and it took probably past midway through the season to get it going, and I think they're going to go back to bringing out the black tarps. I think they are. If they continue on this path, if they don't get, like we said, the Nick Foles on Friday, we mentioned how they were kind of, you know, all about that life of getting Nick Foles on their team. And then the number one fan base, if David Green is out there and you're listening, buddy, I want to know what the deal is with this. Number one on this worst cities for NFL fans is Houston. I've never been to Houston. I don't know anything about Houston other than their football team, their baseball team, their college team. I don't know much about what's going on there, but yeah, Houston, number one on that list. I don't know if I agree. I think Jacksonville should take that list. Or a glaring omission on this list should be Los Angeles. That fan base does not back up those two new teams in the Chargers and the Rams. One went to a Super Bowl. One went. Both had trouble filling the stands. Now, look, when there was a Monday night game or a big game towards the end, the Rams did, just like the Jaguars did. They showed up. I'm sending Loudbeard a text right now. You all right, man? Let's see if he responds. Hopefully, his studio is not burnt to the ground. If so, grab some marshmallows, Loudbeard. Roast them up. Make the best of it, buddy. And bring some s'mores on by. Come on over to my studio. We can party out for the rest of President's Day. But, yeah, I think I'm missing that whole word for fans. I guess if I don't know, man. Houston, get at me, guys. Should Houston deserve to be on that list? Those who are Houston Texan fans, do they deserve to be on that list? Let's see, Loudbeard, where are you at, buddy? All right, I got dead air going. I got to move on to my next topic. The Daytona 500 was this weekend. That's about 40 minutes from our studios. It's about a 40-minute drive, about 35 to the racetrack if traffic's good to you. And I got to say, growing up here in Orlando, we got a tweet in here to @ScoutTeam. I didn't even think NASCAR existed anymore. That was Josh Newman @BBDiamondPro. That's a lot of people's feelings this past weekend for the Daytona 500, and that's not a good sign for the sport. NASCAR has been slowly dwindling. They've tried anything and everything to change up their playoff system, their championship system. I have never once understood how NASCAR scoring worked. I guess 20, 30 years ago, it worked that you won a race, you got X amount of points, you got second place, you got X amount of points, so on and so forth. You got a few bonus points for leading laps, but nothing major. And now I watched a little bit of it last night or yesterday afternoon, and they do races in stages. I guess there's three stages to a race. The Daytona 500, the first two stages were 60 laps. The last stage was 80 laps. It really made no sense to me. They had like a stage one winner, a stage two winner, and I guess... I don't know if that's generating enough interest. I haven't heard a single sports show hype up the new scoring system, this new stage system. I don't even know if this is the first time they've done this, if they had this last year. Maybe they've been doing this for 6 years. I don't know. I haven't really watched NASCAR all that much. But I can tell you in the Central Florida area where the Daytona 500 exists, there just wasn't that kind of hype. I headed out towards Daytona. I didn't get out to Daytona. I got about a third of the way, and usually you'll see some traffic building up on I-4 and everything, but nothing major. I honestly, if nobody told me the race was on, all right, so we got yes sir malfunction with a smoke detector, got it all fixed. So Loudbeard, good to hear that you're safe. Roast some marshmallows anyways. I'm now hungry for roasted marshmallows. So please roast them over like your microwave or your stovetop and bring them on over to the Chris America Studios and let's have a camping roasted marshmallow sensation. But back to the Daytona 500, there was just no buzz here in the Orlando area. Normally I get a buzz. Even though it's 30, 40 minutes away, you still get a buzz here in Orlando for the Daytona 500. You get the traffic. You get a little bit of that. None of that existed. If it wasn't for Twitter or anything else like that, people saying, did you know the Daytona 500 was on? I honestly would have forgot. It would have passed
Chris
my
America,
mind. Yes.
I believe that the week leading up is when you see most of that buzz, and I have to agree with you, man. You did not see anything coming that week before, so it seemed like it just kind of came up on us quickly. Now, diehard NASCAR fans love the Daytona 500. I mean, they're selling this thing out. It's going to have that buzz, but for us more of the casual racing fan, I didn't
or
feel
just
it.
Even the non-existent fan.
Yeah, the
Daytona 500 was the one that usually grabbed everybody's attention. Even if you hate NASCAR, you're like, oh, it's the Daytona 500 this weekend, the Super Bowl of motorsports. Let's watch it. And it just wasn't there this year, man. I think it's dying.
Yeah, I mean, NASCAR fans would fight you to your death for saying that, but you're right. For the casual fan and the non-existent fan, as you say, there wasn't the love for the Daytona 500. And, I mean, I don't know that it normally happens on the same weekend as the All-Star break, so maybe, you know, you lose some of the NBA fans that way. You got the new buzz with the Alliance, even though that's not as strong as it was week one. You have so much going on. You even had UFC going on. And it just seemed like Daytona 500 came to be a little bit of an afterthought. Now, it was a little bit of a crash-o-rama, and that's another thing that drives me crazy is you have all these crashes. They have to stop the race. You lose that continuity. I don't have the attention span for all of this. Maybe that's part of it, too.
I don't know, man. I think the crashes are – I've always thought the crashes are what people love. It was like one of those things where you're like, I feel bad for loving this, but I'm glad it's happening.
Yeah, no.
It did kind of break up the monotony of the cars going around in circles. Now, again, you say you feel bad for it because, I mean, we've watched drivers die in car accidents, especially during the Daytona 500 was the most infamous one with Dale Earnhardt Sr. But I don't know what it is, Ladbeard. There was no buzz here in Central Florida, and that's where I would expect. I get it if you're, like, in Houston and there's no buzz there. But here in Orlando, where we're 35, 40 minutes away from the track, just nothing, man. Nothing at all. The news, maybe because I don't watch the news. Maybe the news did hype it up, and I just don't watch enough local news. But I just, no buzz, man.
Nope, absolutely no buzz.
Well, Loudbeard, I know you just battled a fire, so you're going to need a break. Why don't we go to commercial break? You know, brush yourself off, and we'll bring back some more heat that hopefully doesn't burn your house down.
When I'm working hard, I build up a thirst for sports. That's when I grab a cold 12-ounce sports radio. Quench your sports thirst.
Scout team listeners and friends of the show, I've got something special for you. It looks like 12-ounce sports radio has done it again. We have partnered with Rally House. You just go to the website, 12ozsportsradio.com. Click on the banner on the right side of the page, and it will take you directly to Rally House. Rally House has some of the greatest, most unique sports items for that diehard fan, casual fan, and anybody and everybody out there that is special in your life. So go ahead and check it out. Once again, go to that website, 12ozsportsradio.com. Click on the banner to the right of the page, and you will get taken to the best sports merchandise website on all of the interweb.
Ring Central features all-in-one phone, messaging, and video conferencing. It's easy to use with unparalleled security. Ring Central simplifies things so you can grow. Call RingCentral to speak with a representative about a price for your growing business at 877-779-3860. Again, that's 877-779-3860.
Hey everybody, it's your favorite patriot, Chris America, and I want you to listen every single weekday, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., and on replays from 11 a.m. to noon of Scout Team Sports. Listen, George Washington did not cross over the ocean blue in 1492 to defeat the Nazis, so you can listen to the same tired national clickbait sports stories. So once again, tune in to us every single morning, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., and then we replay from 11 to noon. I will see you there, and God bless America.
Welcome back. Thank you all for listening in. Once again, you are listening to Scout Team Radio, bringing it to you hot and live like we do each and every morning, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. and replay on at 11 a.m. on 12-ounce sports radio. We also drop a podcast. We send that podcast over to the Barn Burner Network, partners of ours. They put us on, and it is fantastic because they're based out of Canada. We love all of our Canadian listeners. Thank you for listening in. Even though the other guy's named Chris America, don't let that fool you. He's half Canadian. The other podcast.
I might be three quarters Canadian, Ladbeard.
Barely. The other places you can find us is Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, and our website, scoutteamradio.com. And
huge
if you want to get social, Chris America, you can find us on Twitter at Scout Team Radio.
I love bacon.
You like Canadian bacon. It's really ham, Chris America. Why do you
don't
fool
say
me
that
with
to me,
meat?
Loudbeard? Well, Loudbeard, I'm glad you mentioned all those places you can find it because, Loudbeard, you missed some good stuff while you were gone battling that fire. So if you're out battling fires, do make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcast. Subscribe us, rate us 5 stars. Even if you don't like us, please rate us 5 stars because we're nice guys and Canadians are polite. And so if you're a Canadian up there, please subscribe and like us because it's just the polite thing to do. And Loudbeard, you missed something that I wanted to talk to you about, and I don't want to go too far into it because I talked about it a little bit, and I don't want to, you know, be repetitive to the fans who were loyal to us to tuning in. But I got a tweet today from Fox Sports NFL, the worst cities for NFL fans. I'll just run by them real quick. You can tell me if you like it, hate it, thought there was a team left out or a city left out. You got Tampa, number 5, Cleveland, 4, Nashville, 3, Jacksonville, 2, and Houston, 1. Labeled as the worst cities for NFL fans. Didn't give any like requirements to make that list or what went into making those cities the worst for NFL fans.
I don't like it because it doesn't say what they were measuring. It's like some guy was sitting in an office like, let me just stir it up here. Let me stir up the pot. Let me get
some clickbait.
Yeah, exactly. The Fox Sports guy's like, yo, this is what ESPN does. I could be like ESPN. Look at me. I can do clickbait articles. I can make this big story out of absolutely nothing because that's what I like to do. And yeah, I don't like that at all. Yeah, there's argument there. Tampa Bay fans. Yeah, maybe it's attendance at their games. You get more on like a Steelers game. Half the stadium's filled with Steelers fans. On a Giants game, half the stadium's filled with Giants fans. So I could see Tampa Bay, for some reason, being one of those awful sports teams. Jaguars, us professional teams in Florida seem to struggle. They struggle with support. They struggle with attendance because this is a college football state. But, you know, it's also one of those things that it is what it is, but I don't like the criteria. I need to know, Chris America, what is that criteria? I mean, I need something.
And I asked Houston fans to tweet at us, at Scout Team Radio, let us know why Houston made this list. I always thought Houston was a decent town for sports. They always seemed good. And I said, though, the big omission is L.A. L.A. has to be a terrible place to be for fans of the NFL because they don't show up to their new teams, which were their one of them was their old team.
But maybe L.A. hasn't been around long enough as a sports NFL town to make the list. Maybe there's a criteria there that you have to be in your city for the last 5 years because then they wouldn't make it. I don't know, man.
You know what, Loudbeard? I got some motivation for those cities. If you're feeling down about that list or your city being on that list, or if you're feeling down that your smoke detector is malfunctioning or whatever, or if you're just feeling down that it's a Monday, it's President's Day, and you see everybody else has President's Day off but you got to go to work on this President's Day Monday. I got a little motivation from Timmy Terrific, Loudbeard. You know, you always say that the show is always better for the fans when we bring up Timothy Tebow. So here we go.
You know, it's really trying to keep perspective and not letting other people define you because they sure do want to. And I try to encourage young people all the time to not let the world or other people, outside sources, define you, because you're always going to have critics and naysayers and people that are going to tell you that you won't, that you can't, that you shouldn't. Most of those people are the people that didn't, that wouldn't, that couldn't. And don't be defined by outside sources. You go after your dreams. Succeeding or failing is not making it to the bigs, or it's not necessarily fulfilling that. It's having to not live with regret because I didn't try. And, you know, I just feel for all the young people out there that don't go after something because they're so afraid of failing that you're going to live with a lot more regret than you would have if you tried and you failed. And I'm very passionate about that. And I think the reason that a lot of people don't go after things is because
Oh, stupid connection. What is going on here, Loudbeard?
I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, I feel motivated. If you can't, you shouldn't, you do. And you wouldn't, you couldn't, you can't. And you shouldn't, you do, and you can't, and you won't. And I that really bothers me when you're a fan and you really just don't go after your dreams. So, Tim Terrific. I feel motivated.
I feel motivated, Loudbeard. And you know what? I feel the same way about our show. You and I, we had this crazy idea a year and a half ago. Let's just go for it, man. We were hanging out, chilling at a July 4th. No, it was a Memorial Day, I think it was.
I think it was President's Day.
No, was it President's Day?
I'm just saying that for, you know, for the ambiance.
For effect, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
2 years ago, we were chilling out by a pool, talking sports. You and I, we've always loved talking sports together. And we're like, I think we'd be good at this on the radio. I think we would have a good, you know, good chemistry going on here. Let's just do it. And, you know, the significant others, the wives, the Mrs. Loudbeard, the Miss America, they were a little like, you're going to do what? That's kind of weird. But then, you know, eventually they came around. They supported us like good wives and girlfriends do. And everybody else is kind of like, oh, that's kind of nice. And we've grown. We've grown so much, Loudbeard. We've come a long way. And I've always had that mentality, and it's good to just hear it again from Tim Tebow. You know, he's one of the most hated guys on the planet. As far as he's the John Cena of real sports. You either love him or you hate him. He's very polarizing. I don't get why. He's a great guy. He's never really done anything wrong, or not never really. He's never done anything wrong at all. And people just love to hate him for some reason and tell him, "Oh, you're not a baseball player. You can't do this. You can't do that." And Loudbeard, I know I have my haters on Twitter, and I love every single one of them.
Yeah, they feed that fire, right? They throw the fuel on your fire, and they help motivate you to achieve your absolute best. And that's what Tim Tebow has done over all the years. He gets all that hate, and he turns it into such passion and such enthusiasm and positive reinforcement for himself. He does an amazing job at that, and he is somebody that we all should look up to. I don't know why he's getting all that hate. I don't know why people hate on Timmy Tebow so much, but I do know that maybe it's a little bit of jealousy. The guy's done it the right way. He's worked hard, and at every level he has been criticized. You can't do this. You won't do this. You will never be this. And he has gone, and he has proven people wrong time and time again. You can't play baseball, Tim Tebow. And he's out there. He said, I'm going to work from the bottom, work my way up. Oh, you haven't played baseball in 10 years. There's no way you could get back into it. He's out there. He's getting back into it. He looks like he's going to make the major leagues. Man, this guy, to me, is an absolute inspiration, Chris America.
But the most important part about that message, Loudbeard, is I love what he said. To him, succeeding is not making the majors. To him, succeeding is he found something he loves doing. He found something he wanted to do with his life, and he went after it. He didn't let all of the things that you talked about, you know, sway him away from that. So if you are on your way to work, or you're at that job that you absolutely hate, and you're working on President's Day, and you know there's a goal, there's a dream out there that you have, man, I say go for it. That's what Loudbeard and I did. We both have always thought, man, Loudbeard, my whole entire life, I've thought, man, I think I could be good at this talk radio thing, but I let negativity, I let failure sway me from that dream. So now here I am in my mid-30s chasing after it now, and I have no doubt, Loudbeard, that you and I, we will one day make it even bigger and better than where we are right now. And it's because of the fans we have now and the continuing growth that we've had over the last year and a half. Man, so I appreciate you coming on this ride with me, man.
Oh, absolutely. And the listeners out there, we got to thank them, because we've had a lot of support along the way. There's a lot of regular listeners to this show that we love interacting with and talking to and having debates with. And this has been great. It has been an absolutely phenomenal ride. And our families have been supportive, and just everything has been the right way. And we've seen a lot of podcasts, a lot of great duos and great trios out there that have come and gone. This is not easy. There is no way that you can look at this and say, all right, I'm going to put on a show and it's going to be huge in the next 6 months.
I'm just going to buy a microphone and plug it in and hit record, and I'm going to be a success. Now, yeah, it is a grind. And we've been grinding it every Monday through Friday since August 27th. Right, Loudbeard? Was it 27th or 28th? I think
sure.
It was 27th. Yeah.
No,
we'll look
it
up.
Oh, man. I'd have to look. It was that Monday.
Yeah.
I think it was the 27th. Yeah. Sounds good.
But we've been grinding and growing, and I'm excited for the future, Loudbeard. But what else do we got going on. You mentioned there was an NBA All-Star game, Loudbeard, and like all All-Star Pro Bowl type games, I did not watch a single minute of it. So I'll lean on you to kind of give out the highlights to this one.
Oh, absolutely.
I saw the ridiculous alley-oop where Steph Curry bounced the ball really high and then Giannis went up and slam dunked it. I did see that highlight. That was fun.
Yeah, the highlights are the best part of this. This is where you can, not that 26-minute fight highlight. Like, this is where you go back and you see the amazing dunks and the cool fun, LeBron and Dwayne Wade playing together, just stuff like that that makes this All-Star game great. I'll be honest with you, Chris America. I've been a big fan of the Saturday night festivities for a long time. I love the dunk contest, the three-point contest, the skills contest for what it is, and it's always a lot of fun. Now, the dunk contest always gets a lot of criticism. It hasn't been the same since it was Dominique and Michael Jordan going back and forth. The stars don't come out like they used to. You don't see LeBron James ever entering into a dunk contest. And you know what? I don't care. I watch it for what it is. And yeah, this was probably more of a lackluster performance when you look at the dunk contest. So the guy that wins, Hamidou Diallo, who is a absolute freakish athlete from Oklahoma City, has this amazing Superman dunk where he jumps over Shaq and then he rips his Superman undershirt out while he's hanging there with his elbow on the rim, kind of like a Vince Carter style elbow hanging there. That dunk was by far the best dunk of the night. There was a couple good other dunks that were fun to watch, but the biggest problem with the dunk contest is these guys, some of them are trying 4, 5, 6, 7 attempts to get a dunk down. Dennis Smith Jr., it was almost painful to watch him. He did not have a good showing, but this one dunk was worth the watch. The skills contest, the only highlight there, Jason Tatum wins it on a half-court shot. So that was kind of an amazing, thrilling win there on the skills. But the highlight of the evening, and it has become the biggest event there is the three-point contest. This was fun to watch. Everybody was thinking Steph was going to win it. Steph is the best three-point shooter in all of the land, all of the nation, everywhere, and he comes up short. Average Joe Harris, this guy out of nowhere, comes and dominates and barely hangs on as Steph gets caught fire at the end. But Joe Harris from the Brooklyn Nets wins this three-point contest to take down the mighty Steph Curry from his hometown of Charlotte. So that's it. That's the highlight from the All-Star game. That's all I got, Chris America. Are you glad you missed it?
Yeah, I mean, I did see that they had the legends doing a like 4-man 3-point contest, and all of them just looked awful. It was just brick city.
Yeah, they were terrible.
Why did they do that to those gentlemen?
No, they were trying to add some fun. It was just part of the show. It wasn't anything serious. It was kind of like, hey, the announcers are like, hey, let me get some guys out here to help me out with this. I'm gonna just do a quick 3-point. Little contest here. Let's see how I do. And then all of a sudden they bring out Ray Allen and they bring out, I forget who else was out there, but it was like the best 3-point shooters of all time. Mark Price was one of them. And it was just kind of fun. You know, they need to bring, it needs to be entertainment, right? This isn't a real competition. This is all about entertainment.
It's still like, if you're Ray Allen, one of the greatest 3-point shooters of all time, and you go out there and you're what, like in your 40s now, mid 40s? I don't know how old Ray Allen is. He was an old man when he was on that Heat team. I know that much. And then you go out and you just shoot up 5 bricks in a row, or you just make 1 3-point shot. That's got to be a little bit like humbling, don't you think? Like, oh man, I'm definitely old.
Yeah, but when they played, these guys were out there shooting thousands of shots a day. They were practicing. They were playing. They were in the peak of their lives. Now, yeah. I mean, they get out there and probably shoot around here and there, but it's not the same. So it's kind of not surprising that they didn't go out there and just nail 5 in a row. You know, it's just, I at first when I watched it, I'm like you, I felt the same way. I'm like, man, this looks bad. This looks real bad. But afterwards I thought about it. It's like these guys have been sitting on the couch and some of them looked a little out of shape. Glenn Rice was the other one. One of the announcers, I think it was Reggie Miller, I could be wrong. I could be wrong who it was, but he's like, man, Glenn Rice looked like he ate an NBA player. I mean, Glenn Rice looked like he was probably gained 500 pounds. And so these guys, they just don't have it anymore. They're just sitting on their couches, enjoying life, eating bonbons.
Some fun fact about Ray Allen, his real first name is Walter.
All right. Well, you learn things new every day with Scout Team Radio. You learn things that you never thought you would need to know.
And he's a junior.
Ooh, Walter Jr. All right, what else you got, Chris America? I mean, I've got a couple other things we could go into.
Yeah,
we got
go
5 minutes
let's,
left.
Let's roll with
let's
it,
roll.
Man.
See, I don't know what you covered while I was doing.
All I covered was the worst NFL cities. I finished up the Orlando Alliance. I did the worst NFL cities, and I did the Daytona 500.
All right, you're fantastic.
Which we didn't even go over. I think the winner was Denny Hamlin.
All right, Denny Hamlin was the winner. Congrats to Denny Hamlin. Kyle Busch was close in that running. I was thinking, wow, could have got Kyle Busch up there, but nope, Denny Hamlin squeaks it out. Number one, Tennessee takes a loss. 19-game winning streak is done. College basketball, the number one team goes down to Kentucky, 86-69. It wasn't even close.
All right.
All right, we're going to play some Rocky Top right now for you guys.
No,
so you can really...
no. I'm taking my headphones off if you
do
that.
So Duke could emerge as the new number one after Tennessee takes this loss.
Does it
It'll
matter?
It'll be interesting to see how the rankings go. You're right, it does not matter
because there's,
there's
a real tournament.
There is a real tournament going on. I don't think we talked about it Friday. Maybe we did a little bit, but the Kaepernick decision comes out. And
came out after we got off the air.
Oh, you're right. That came out Friday. That was big news. So the Kaepernick settlement, the terms aren't disclosed, but I'm seeing a lot of people say that they're thinking realistically it was the $60 to $80 million range. That is big money, Chris America.
That's why you don't come out and play for $83,000, Loudberg.
Again, it's not about the money, Chris America. Now that the settlement is done, the hot debate, the embrace sports debate is, will a team now sign him since the black ball has been lifted and there has been a settlement? Do you think an NFL team will sign Colin Kaepernick this offseason, Chris America? Embrace debate.
Well, now I got to wonder. Now we're all wondering, the biggest mystery is what was in the settlement. Not only just how much money did Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid get, but what did the NFL admit to or not admit to? What did Colin Kaepernick give up? It kind of seems incomplete for what was going on. Does it not, Loudbeard? Like, we didn't get answers. Was there collusion going on? Is Colin Kaepernick? I mean, maybe we'll find that out after this offseason's done. Is Colin Kaepernick good enough to be on an NFL team? And it was just his being the head of the snake of this. And I'm not saying that as like a negative term, so don't take it that way. But the head of the snake of this protest thing. And they felt
you
like
heard
if we
it here
cut
first.
Off,
Chris yeah. America calls Colin Kaepernick a snake.
Yeah,
hot take.
He calls the protest snakes. No, it's
snakes
just a,
everywhere.
It's just a saying that you cut off the head of the snake, then the snake dies.
Indiana Jones loves snakes.
He does love snakes. But so a lot of mystery going on. But I think in the end, Colin Kaepernick wouldn't have settled if he didn't get everything that he wasn't satisfied with. Everything that he needed to be satisfied with. And I think in the end, the NFL, whether they were colluding or not, I mean, they were about to have to give up emails and stuff like that. That was about to become public record. And I think there's a lot of stuff that the NFL does that the NFL doesn't necessarily want us, the public, Johnny Q public, whether it has to do with collusion or not, that they don't want us to know what's going on behind the curtain.
Oh, absolutely, man. They're going to have all of their... they're dirty laundry out there on these emails, and they don't want that. So they're like, let's just cut it. And that money's going to be big. Kaepernick wouldn't have settled unless it was big money. So we know that dude got paid. And the answers to all your questions is yes, yes, and yes, and yes, and yes. I don't even remember what the questions were, Chris America, but I guess we will find out over time. Or maybe we won't. Maybe it'll be one of the great mysteries of the world.
Yeah, like where's Jimmy Hoffa buried? Who is the Zodiac killer?
What is it, underneath the Yankee Stadium or something? Isn't that where they
maybe say? Is Atlantis a real city?
That's true.
Who is the Golden
Aquaman
Ghost?
Aquaman lives there.
Who is the Golden Ghost the Scout Team guys always talk about?
We call him the Holy Ghost.
No, he's definitely not holy.
You have to pray for that man to come on. There ain't any other way. God, only God could make that man come on the radio anymore.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
All right, 1 minute left, Chris America. I'm gonna pose one question to you. So all these baseball stars are still not being signed. Talks are heating up, but Adam Wainwright comes out and says, unless something changes with Major League Baseball, there will be a strike 100%. Can baseball survive another ugly strike, Chris America?
I mean, is the deal coming up? Like, are they going to strike in the middle of a CBA?
No, but when the collective bargaining agreement comes up, the players are going to get their pitchforks and get their torches, and they're going to storm the castle.
I don't know what it is that they're wanting to fight for other than maybe redoing when they can get these big contracts. Like, we talked about Judge, not Mike Judge, getting paid pennies on the dollar for what he's doing for the Yankees, and it's going to be about 6 or 7 years before he sees a major, major deal like we've seen in baseball before. So, I mean, that's the only thing I can say that the players can fairly ask for and that the owners should give up. But, I mean, you're making the most money. You have the biggest contracts in all of sports. I don't know what else you want out of ownership. But we'll see how it goes, Loudbeard. NHL might also strike or be locked out. Their CBA is coming up next year, 2020, Loudbeard. Can hockey survive a lockout either?
Hockey Talk brought to you by Chris America. Thank you all for listening. This has been another beautiful show. We love being on the airwaves. Once again, we are Scout Team Radio. He's Chris America. I'm Loudbeard. And we are out.
Good show, Loudbeard. Way to put me to the test. I finally had to be the one that had to carry the show by myself. I appreciate it. I kind of panicked a little bit, but I was like, what would Loudbeard
do? You did okay. Not great.
I said, what would Loudbeard
do?
And I said, he would carry the show like a champ. So I tapped into my inner Loudbeard.
Keep on keeping on.
Life's a garden. Dig it.